What happens when a Catholic deacon matches wits with a Catholic radio show host? You get a marriage made in heaven. They may not always agree, but they're always faithful. It's the Aikens with their View from the Pew on Modern Day Radio.
And welcome to this episode of View from the Pew. I'm your host, Brenda Aiken, and joining me today is the man who's got a Catholic answer for everything, the good deacon, Scott Aiken.
Nothing like going to the heart of that statement. Yeah, when we went down to visit Catholic Answers on our trip down to San Diego. But I tell you, I feel every time I hear Jimmy Aikens and Tim Staples and the host of folks that know so much, my 17 years of being a deacon, I am humbled each and every time.
I have said that so often to people, and many of those people that you just mentioned have been on Mater Dei Radio and been on the Morning Blend before. We've done interviews with them, Catholic Answers President Chris Check, and also the Catholic Answers Live host, Cy Kellett, all have been guests on the morning show. Their ability to recall information is absolutely phenomenal. And so often when we talk to people who have become Catholic or who have been turned on to Catholic radio, they said it was Catholic Answers was the show that got them started. Now, we had a wonderful tour there because we went down to San Diego. As we often tell people, they know that we have a Marine who's stationed at Camp Pendleton. We had an opportunity to be with him while he was on liberty for the weekend. We stayed an extra day, so that way we had the opportunity to go to the home office, which is in San Diego area. It was a great visit. They have an incredible outfit there. Just so many offices that take up, you know, social media aspects and their IT department. They have their books department, and then of course their on air and their on air presence. And it was wonderful to see everybody. I had it was probably a 3 or 4 minute opportunity to sit with Cy Kellett while they were live on the air that day, and we had a little chat. I offered a question to their apologist, which, boy, they didn't know what I was going to ask, but they had an answer for us as well. Just a really great opportunity. Now, for people who don't realize this, Catholic Answers started in the 1970s as a print operation. It was a print magazine that Carl Keening began. But it was a person by the name of Jerry Usher, who was at KBVM here in Portland, when he had the idea of a radio program. He reached out to Carl Keating, and that's where Catholic Answers began in the late 90s. So in a roundabout way, I'd like to think Mater Dei Radio had a small part in creating such a wonderful show.
Right. And, you know, just to emphasize what we emphasize always at KBVM, that it is Mary's station. And it was by a desire of a local group of people within Portland who wanted to hear the rosary prayed on the radio. And it expounds into the connections that we were actually witnessing firsthand while we were there at Catholic Answers.
I really appreciated our time there. And I believe it was the angels and saints that were working with us that day that, because of a series of circumstances, we ended up arriving very, very early to the airport that day, to a flight that we were supposed to be on that was delayed, that was going to get us home well past midnight. Well, I think it was Carlo Acutis that helped me out or helped us out. We got a couple of seats on the earlier flight, and I was home and in bed by the time the original flight was set to take off. So it was a wonderful opportunity, all in all, to see our son, to see with my mom and dad again, my brothers, your brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws, and everyone down there. Blessed time indeed. Well, for today's show too, at the time that we are recording this, we are aglow with joy. We have a new pope. Pope Leo XIV has been elected after 4 rounds of voting in the conclave, and he is a Chicagoan. We are so blessed and excited for all of this.
I talked to your dad right away. Your dad, we just spent time with for the last week. He called me immediately, and he said, guess what? He's a Cubs fan. So,
oh no,
there you go, a tried and true American. But yes, what an excitement! And as we were talking earlier, the connections to Pope Leo the 13th that he continues on in his acceptance of this title, Pope Leo the 14th, the connection to Saint Michael, and today is recognizing the apparition of Saint Michael on Mount Gargano. And how, you know, these things are, seem to the lay person and even to the secular world as somewhat coincidental, but my gosh, nothing's a coincidence with God, is it? You just clearly see God's hand and the Holy Spirit moving through everything right down to the name he chose.
There is quite a bit of connection here. And Scott, I love that is one of your strengths is connectivity, and you can really put the pieces together for us. And we will do that throughout today's show. We are so excited as our guest today, the Archbishop of Portland, Oregon, Alexander Sample, is joining me. He's going to tell all of us where he was when he heard the news and what it means to the world to have a Pope Leo the 14th.
When we come back, we'll continue to make more connections, but also recognize just some of the history that you and I have experienced in our witnessing of papal elections and how special this one was in so many different ways.
So we got a great show ahead for you on this week's View from the Pew. Stay with us.
I know the answer to every question, the one solution to every fear.
This is a Papal Minute.
Pope Leo XIII became Pope in 1878. The church he would lead was one stripped of its temporal power and marginalized and persecuted in many nations. Leo was the first pope in a millennium and a half not to exercise political power. Instead, Leo was a pastor and a teacher. Over the course of his 25-year pontificate, in more than 80 encyclicals, he wrote on virtually every major issue of the day. His most famous encyclical, Rerum Novarum, promulgated on May 15, 1891, is a writing on social justice. In it, Leo XIII outlined for the first time the principles of Catholic social teaching. In him, humanity found a strong defender and a champion of human rights and dignity. This has been a Papal Minute.
Please join me, Father Peter Julia, Vocations Director for the Archdiocese of Portland and Oregon, in this prayer of St. Michael the Archangel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Father Peter Julia, the Vocations Director for the Archdiocese of Portland and Oregon. To learn more about discerning your vocation, please visit archdpdxvocations.org. That's archdpdxvocations.org.
Mater Dei Radio unites in prayer with Mount Calvary and Gethsemane Funeral Services for the annual Memorial Day Masses across the Archdiocese of Portland and Oregon on Monday morning, May 26. Dominican Father Joshua Gatus begins this solemn observation at 9 o'clock, celebrating Holy Mass at Mount Calvary Catholic Cemetery in Eugene. At 10, join Portland Archbishop Alexander Sample for the Memorial Day Mass at Gethsemane Catholic Cemetery in Happy Valley. And Bishop Peter Smith will lead the Eucharistic celebration at Mount Calvary Catholic Cemetery in Southwest Portland at 10 o'clock. Make plans to be a part of this day of prayer and remembrance with the annual Memorial Day Masses across the Archdiocese of Portland and Oregon on Monday morning, May 26th. With Mount Calvary and Gethsemane Funeral Services and Mater Dei Radio, leading souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.
It's Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken with their View from the Pew on Mater Dei Radio.
Here at Mater Dei Radio, along with so many people around the world, we watched as the white smoke came from the chimney at the Vatican. And then within an hour before us came Pope Leo, joining us today to celebrate with all of us here in the Archdiocese of Portland. It is our shepherd, Archbishop Alexander Sample. Good morning, Archbishop. Thanks for your time today.
Very happy to be with you and all of our wonderful listeners. Thank you, Brenda.
Archbishop Sample, we were watching at the moment that we saw the white smoke come from that chimney. Nobody moved from their computer screens as we awaited this announcement. Where were you watching the announcement?
Yeah, well, it's funny because I was driving down I-5, headed toward Mount Angel for a meeting I had down here and I was texted in the car on the way down that we had white smoke. So, of course, I have the ability to bring up YouTube TV on my cell phone. So I probably did something I shouldn't do, but I put it on in the car and started, you know, paying attention to what was happening. So, and then by the time I arrived here at Mount Angel for the meeting at the Mount Angel Abbey, we had pulled up the computer live feed and were waiting along with the rest of the world to see who was going to step out on the central loggia of St. Peter's Basilica.
How wonderful to be with the seminarians there at Mount Angel. What was their feeling? Were you all kind of gathered together?
It wasn't a meeting with the seminarians, actually. It was our priest personnel board meeting. So it was a meeting with a group of our priests, actually, down here today.
Oh, well, again, so exciting to be able to be witness to this, a real rarity in the life of the church. I mean, just years and years in between. But now we know an American. Robert Francis, yes. Prevost is our cardinal. He took the name Pope Leo XIV. What can you tell us about it?
Well, you know, I have to be very frank and say that I do not know Cardinal Prevost, now Pope Leo XIV, at all. I've never met him, even though he's born in the United States. He's the first American pope. He spent a large portion of his ministry as a priest and as a bishop outside the United States. He's a member of a religious order, the Augustinians, and so he was assigned by his religious order to minister outside the United States. So I just have never had the chance to meet him. He was a bishop in Peru, and now he was at the Dicastery for Bishops in Rome since 2023. I've not had the opportunity to interact with him since he took over that role. That office oversees the appointment of bishops and in some ways the ministry and life of bishops. But I have yet to interact with him. So I'm sort of learning about Cardinal Prevost and his background and his thinking and his ideas along with everybody else, which is kind of part of the fun of all of this, really.
It is all quite very exciting. Archbishop Sample, you did mention here that Pope Leo is part of an order, the Augustinians. How will that practice of his faith through the Augustinian order, how will that shape and influence his pontificate?
Well, it would certainly point to his theology, you know, what forms his theological outlook, if you will, and his theological foundation, which would be, as an Augustinian, rooted in the teachings of St. Augustine, bishop and doctor of the church, and really with the whole patristic era, if you will. And So his I would think his theology, again, I don't really know too much about his writings in theology, but I, being a member of the Augustinians, I'm sure his formation and his foundation is very much rooted in the theology of St. Augustine and those scholars throughout the centuries who have studied and written about Augustine, including the Augustinians. And, you know, he even quoted Augustine so beautifully in his remarks, and that's one of the famous quotes of St. Augustine that, you know, because as a bishop, he felt St. Augustine felt the burden of being a bishop as just that, a very heavy burden. He said, you know, with you, I am a Christian. For you, I am a bishop. And I think that the fact that Pope Leo the 14th quoted that probably signals how he sees himself, that he's a brother with all of us as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus, and it is for us and in service to us that he is a bishop and takes on that role, and now the Bishop of Rome and the Universal Shepherd of the Church.
If you are just tuning in, of course, you recognize the voice of our Archbishop Alexander Sample. He's joining us today as we all celebrate a new pope. Well, you mentioned his name, Pope Leo the 14th, 13 Pope Leos before him. How does the name that the pope chooses, how does that maybe give us an idea, too, as to how he'll see his service to the church as pope?
Yes, you know, I think people need to be aware of the fact that, you know, popes choose that, you know, when a cardinal is elected pope, of course, one of the first things he has to do is choose a name under which he will serve as our Holy Father. I suspect, you know, these cardinals, as they go into the conclave, you know, if they think they might be electable, are probably already thinking about that. And so he has chosen the name Leo, Leo the 14th. There have been a lot of Leos, obviously. It's one of the more prolific names, actually, of previous popes. So what is he signaling? And this is because they signal something. There's a reason they choose a name. They don't choose the name simply because they like the way it sounds. So what is he signaling here? Well, we'll wait to hear from him. I'm sure he'll have some comment and remark about why he chose the name Leo. I suspect, if I had to guess, that you know, Leo the 13th, which was the last Leo, who died at the turn of the 18th or the 19th to the 20th century, Pope Leo the 13th is really considered the father, if you will, of modern thought around Catholic social teaching. So Leo the 13th really articulated for our times our beliefs in our Catholic social teaching. So I suspect that Pope Leo the 14th now is signaling that you know an articulation and a promotion of the Catholic Church's social teaching will be one of the hallmarks of his pontificate. And again, continue that idea of reaching out to the poor and the marginalized and those who suffer in our world and to secure really justice rooted in the gospel for all people.
Well, truly a day for the Catholics of the world and really many, many people who will be affected by his pontificate. We celebrate. And Archbishop Sample, we appreciate your time today. Before we end our discussion, will you lead us in a prayer?
Yes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, through your Holy Spirit, you have chosen a pope for us, a holy father, a spiritual father, a shepherd for all of us Catholics throughout the world and for all people of goodwill. Father, we thank you for the gift of a new pope. We ask you now to pour out your abundant grace and blessing upon him. Strengthen him, Lord, for the incredible responsibility which now you have placed on his shoulders. Help him to serve us well, according to the very mind and the heart of Christ, who is the good shepherd. I ask also and entrust him to the loving care of Our Lady, and I hope that and pray that she will enfold him in her mantle of love and protection. All these things we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who, risen from the dead, lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Archbishop Sample, thank you so much, and we appreciate your time today as we all celebrate our new Pope Leo the 14th.
Thank you.
Scott, I know that our Archbishop was laughing because as we were getting ready for to record that interview, he was laughing because he could hear me smiling and laughing and my excitement about it. But I can hear in his voice this incredible excitement. We have a new pope. Now, he will be going by Pope Leo the 14th, but Up until yesterday morning, his name was Robert Francis Prevost. He was a cardinal working at the Dicastery of Bishops. Before that, he had been a missionary in Peru. And before that, he was in the United States, born in Chicago, an American pope. This is an incredible time. We are full of excitement.
I just cried when I heard it, making so many connections to the day for us. It was our daughter's oldest daughter's birthday today, May 8th. I started my day out with that connection. And then to see this with my other daughter, my youngest daughter, we watched this intently this morning on YouTube. And when they named him and where he was from, the connection I made was that my dad was born in Chicago.
Yes, he was.
And just really struck deeply for me to see this connection that I never thought I would see in my lifetime. And I know so many people were just bewildered when they heard this name. I know nothing about this man that is now our Pope. And I look forward to learning so much more, but just the connections of coming from where he's been. And lastly, for those listeners on the radio that may not be aware, my wife is Italian-Mexican.
Ah.
And so the descent that he shares is Italian-Spanish. So, you know, I have to just so many ways I'm finding connections to more and more love this man, even though I have yet to fully know who he is and what he's about.
Well, thankful for our universal church, he probably has a much better temperament than I do. I take on the fire of both of those ethnicities. But you're talking about connection, and there is so much more here. Now, on the day that Pope Leo was elected, okay, so we're going to go May 8th, that was yesterday, he took the name Pope Leo. And there is a connection between the feast day, and you mentioned this about St. Michael and the apparition and also the name. And it had to do with his predecessor, Leo the 13th. He had a very strong connection to St. Michael. Explain that to us.
Right. He had a vision in the church that it knocked him down, and it really startled the people that were with him. But he had this vision of hearing the devil and Jesus talking at the tabernacle. And what came from that is this debate in where the devil says, just give me 100 years and the power I need, and I can destroy this church that you've built. And it's granted by Jesus. And Pope Leo the 13th, when he heard that, he said that was just, it just shook him. It scared him so much. And yet what came to him was this prayer of St. Michael that we pray. So just looking at the connections of the spiritual reality of evil operating in the world and Jesus in authority. Jesus is the one who is protecting us constantly, even though we might say that and not necessarily get the gravity of that. By hearing this Pope come forward and choose the name he chose, it just reinstituted in me my conviction that we are on a mission to bring forward the truth, the gospel, to those who need to hear it and stand in the fray against evil that wants to lull people into disbelief and to hopelessness and to selfish pride. And, you know, this, I think, is an exciting time to hear him coming forward with these connections, not only to Pope Leo and that name, you know, the lion. He's going to
yes,
be a champion for the church. And he comes with this tremendous knowledge from his Augustinian upbringing. And I say upbringing because if we just found out he went to a school in Chicago that was named after St. Augustine. So it's followed him his entire life, his young adulthood, all the way into his cardinalship. So just fascinating. More to learn and exciting.
So much more to learn. He'll be able to communicate well to the world in 5 different languages. He also has an ability to understand in 2 more, which is both Latin and German. But we will be able to have a native English speaker, albeit probably with a Chicagoan accent. We'll see how that comes off. But, you know, we did not hear any English in his opening prayer and remarks after his election, which I think also says a lot. We're going to learn so much more in the coming days and months ahead. And to give you an idea of our Pope, this is something that he said to Vatican News a couple of years ago when he was named to head the Dicastery for Bishops. We are often preoccupied with teaching doctrine, the way of living our faith, but we risk forgetting that our first task is to teach what it means to know Jesus Christ and to bear witness to our closeness to the Lord. This comes first, to communicate the beauty of the faith, the beauty and joy of knowing Jesus. It means that we ourselves are living it and sharing this experience. We look forward to knowing and reading so much more about our Pope Leo XIV. Scott, before we go today, will you end us in prayer?
Lord, we just thank you for your presence that is today of maybe many days for people who are listening to this today, palpable and present to us. We're grateful for this Pope who you brought forward, who the Holy Spirit has given responsibility and anointed to do this great work that you've called him to. May we be witnesses of that faith in the work that we do and grow to know you more through trusting in who you have chosen to be our Papa. We ask all this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And that is going to wrap it up for us this week. Please tune in next week as we share with you more stories about our faith, our family, and our view from the pew.
God bless and have a great Easter.
You've been listening to View from the Pew, a weekly look at faith and family life from a Catholic perspective with Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken. For more information on the Aikens and to listen to an archive of their previous shows, visit them online at materdeiradio.com/pew. View from the Pew is produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon.